Hello and welcome back to the Britain Unknown in the Early Middle Ages podcast. This is episode 54, Nothing Memorable to History. If you want to support the show, you can make a monthly donation via Patreon. All link in the description. Before we begin, I'd like to tell you that I'm in a different room from when I usually record. This means there can be a bit more echo as this one's a bit bigger than my usual room. Now let's go with the episode. Last episode with the death of Donald, Kenneth MacAlpin's brother. Donald was succeeded by Kenneth's eldest son, Constantine. I think it's worth reminding you all, especially considering the confusing successions which are to come, that the Picts worked with a system of matrilineal succession. How this would come to work in Scotland is that the Roman alternate between the descendants of Constantine and that of his brother, Ed. Obviously, this becomes a huge mess and never makes any logical sense. In future, I'm going to borrow from Rex Factor and label the branches as a colour of shorthand for their retrospective progenitors, at least when I'm not talking about big dynastic things. The descendants of Constantine will be the blue branch, and the descendants of Aid will be the red branch. I'll also see whether I can put a family tree up somewhere. Anyways, let's get into Constantine's actual reign. At this point, the Vikings controlled the far north of Scotland, the Orkney Islands, Shetland, and probably some parts of the northern mainland. The main problem Constantine had to deal with was that increasingly aggressive Viking attacks. His main power base in east central Scotland was itself raided profusely. In 866, King Olaf of Dublin, and I quote, wasted Pictland, and then spent the winter there. In 870 or 871, Olaf continued his raids and sacked Outclick with 200 ships. This was a devastating blow to the kingdom. Outclick was now a ponderous power base, and having it managed by raiders would have completely destroyed their spirits. Further, it seems the site became uninhabitable in part due to persistent raiding, and the kingdom had to move its capital inland, to Gower. As such, we stopped calling the kingdom Outclick and rather Strathclyde. In 872, Constantine was able to kill Olaf in battle. However, his success against the raiders didn't last for long, as he was defeated again in 875, this time by Halfdan, the King of York. Halfdan's defeat of Constantine was so total that he was forced to retreat back up into the Highlands, chased down by raiders. He was literally killed by said raiders in 776 and buried in Iona. Constantine was succeeded by his brother, Aed. The Chronicle of the Kings of Alba, a contemporary source which compiled the reigns of the kings of Scotland from Kenneth MacAlpin to King Kenneth II, describes Aed's reign as follows. Aed held the kingdom for 1 year. The short rest of his reign will be nothing memorable to history. He was slain in the Civitas of Newham. Vita. Seems that Aed basically spent his entire reign doing nothing but dodging Viking attacks, who were seen for raiding with impunity. Eventually, Aed was killed not by Vikings, but by a member of his own retinue at a place called Newham. We don't actually know where Newham was, but we can assume it was a town, as it was a scribe and a civitas. Don't know very much Latin, but that sounds like a town. Anyways, Aed was succeeded by Gyric, who may have been the person who assassinated Aed, or at least planned for his death. Gyric also appears to have been outside the ruling dynasty and may have ruled in concert with Kenneth's grandson, the one of his daughters and the ruler of Strathclyde, Eochaid. If this was the case, it's likely Gyric was the mentor to Eochaid and Eochaid acts as a puppet ruler. It's also possible Gyric ruled personally, or conversely, that Eochaid did. However, the latter is the least likely possibility. Anyways, Gyric was known as the protector against the heathens in the Dunkeld Litany, a contemporary source. We can assume that means he was at least mildly competent and won some victories. However, he was defeated in 889 by Donald II, son of Constantine. During defeating the Vikings in battle at Innisfail, a site which is commonly located on an island, got him by the name. Beyond the land, renewed attacks on both the Vikings and the Highland tribes, the latter of whom may have broken away from Scottish rule in the chaos. Beyond eventually died in 900, either during or after a campaign. Beyond II was succeeded by eighth son, Constantine II, in 900. Constantine is a really important figure in early Scottish history. He both strengthened the power of the state and moved long enough to give Scotland some much needed stability. Constantine was also the first ruler to appoint new aliens, or chief stewards, over provinces. He may have also established St Andrews as the premier church in Scotland. In addition to both of these major changes, he may have been the first inaugurated King of Scotland. It was either him or Edward II. My sources conflict. Constantine was also a pretty good military commander. In 903, the grandsons of Ivar plundered Dunkeld, and all of Scotland before Constantine routed them in battle. The battle was so decisive that Constantine suffered no major Viking incursions for about half a century. Who the grandsons of Ivar were is unknown, though the obvious figure is Ivar the Boneless. However, there is no proof it was Ivar the Boneless, other than the fact that he was an important Viking who set up shop in Britain. Anyways, Constantine got himself involved in Northumbrian politics, and backed by an issue revolt against Roginvald, the king of Northumbria. This resulted in a massive battle between Constantine and Roginvald in 918. It seems this battle ended indecisively. Meanwhile, there were big things happening down south. Wessex were expanding their power all across England. In 927, King Ethel, son of Wessex, conquered Northumbria, unifying all of England for the first time since the Romans. As you can imagine, this made Constantine very uneasy and in need of allies. He found such allies in an unexpected place, the Norse kings of Dublin. Previously, we have seen the kings of Dublin ravaging Scotland and fighting with the descendants of Kenneth MacAlpin. However, they had a rightful claim on the throne of Northumbria and were actually pleased about Wessex taking land they knew as rightfully theirs. Anyways, Constantine married his daughter to King Blithwith of Dublin's son, Olaf. It seems Constantine was right to feel a mighty for England and, in 934, Æthelstan invaded Scotland and plundered freely. Constantine simply didn't have enough men to resist the combined arms of England. This was a tactical error for Æthelstan though. It pushed Scotland further into the arms of Dublin and the other powers who weren't pleased about the existence of England. This culminated in 937, when Constantine joined a coalition led by Olaf, who was now king of Dublin. This coalition was big and gave Æthelstan a run for his money. However, after a hard fight, Æthelstan gave the upper hand at the Battle of Brunanburh. An English poem records the following of the battle. Saw the old one fled away to his northern country, Constantine, a battle-hardy man. He need not boast of the meeting of swords. He was severed from kin, deprived of friends on that field, slain at war. And left his son on the death ground, destroyed by his wounds, yet not more. He need have no more proud words, the white-haired warrior, the wily one. This is just the last act of Constantine's long and storied reign, and sometime between 940 and 945, he abdicated the throne to Malcolm, Dawn II's son. It's possible Malcolm was pressuring Constantine to abdicate from the second he returned from Brunanburh, suddenly asserting his power until the old king just decided to give up. Constantine died in 952 and was buried in St Andrews. It's hard to understate his influence. He ruled for a whopping 40 to 45 years. And in that time, he stabilised Scotland and made massive administrative changes. However, this isn't the end of our story this episode. As I just mentioned, Constantine was succeeded by Malcolm. Malcolm seems to have been on favourable terms with the new king named Edmund, at least initially. It seems the two led a coordinated attack on Strathclyde, with Edmund invading first and marrying to soften them up before Malcolm marched in and brought Strathclyde into his sphere of influence. However, these good terms wouldn't last for long. It seems Malcolm was a bit of an opportunist and had a large identity in England in support of Olaf's claim to the throne. Few years later, however, he turned around and allied England against Erik Blodax, the exiled King of Norway. Malcolm lost the battle and Erik Blodax seized control of the funding. To me, it seems like exactly what he'd have wanted all along. Malcolm died 2 years later in 954. He seems to have been killed by the locals of Kirkadaneshire and was buried in Iona. He was succeeded by Constantine II's son, Ingolf. Now, Ingolf was probably one of Constantine II's younger sons on account of the likely death of Constantine's eldest son at Edinburgh, as was mentioned in the poem. Anyways, Ingolf wrestled Edinburgh for the control of the Earl of Northumbria and, by extension, England. He may have also exiled Bishop Frodhad of St. Andrews, though the chronicles was given no reason, so we're left guessing. In 962, he destroyed the raiding Viking fleet but died fighting. Supposedly, following his victory, he chased the fleeing Vikings. Eager to catch up, he threw off his armour. What happened from there isn't exactly unexpected. A lucky Viking took a potshot at the king and struck him down. Ingolf was succeeded by Duff, Malcolm I's son. Duff's reign marks a distancing between the two branches of the MacArthur family, whose reign was passed from one branch to the other for three or four generations at this point, so the people involved were no longer really close family. This means that the prospective kings wanted to limit succession to their branch of the family and were willing to fight the current king to bring control over to their side of the tree. In 965, Duff faced a challenge in Cullen, Ingolf's son. However, Duff won the subsequent battle, only to be assassinated, allowing Cullen to gain the throne. Meanwhile, Strathclyde was becoming increasingly independent. Cullen tried to force the kingdom back into vassaldom and was initially successful. However, he made a big tactical and moral error. He killed King Winoich of Strathclyde's brother and raped his daughter. Not only was this a really bad thing to do, but it made Winoich really angry. In 971, Winoich killed Cullen. This led all southwestern Scotland reverting to Strathclyde's control. Cullen was succeeded by Kenneth II, Duff's brother. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please follow me on Twitter, where I'm at BritishSupport, and join the community Discord server. If you want to support the show, there are a number of ways to do so. If you have a little money to spare, please consider making a monthly donation to the show via Patreon or one of the donations via PayPal. However, even with that money, you can help support the show by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you can. It helps support the podcast and makes it be found by more people and to make me motivated to keep pumping out these episodes every week. Anyways, a big thank you to all my patrons, and specifically my two $10 Alderman tier patrons. I need to go on Rodney and see Ryish. With that, goodbye!